98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Delcarpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. It is 8:05 in the morning on a Wednesday, the 4th of February. Thank you for joining us. Cameron Eisenberg's here producing this morning. Here's what's on the show today. First part of the show, we're going to be joined by Washington 7th District State Representative Kevin Waters. In fact, I think he's waiting on the phone for us. It'll be a few more minutes, and we will talk to him about a bill regarding stewardship in the forests. Also, I'm going to talk to him a little bit about the framework for the income tax and higher earners that Democrats put out on Tuesday that the governor, Bob Ferguson, doesn't seem horribly enamored with. We'll talk about how that might impact dynamics here in this short session in Washington. Second half of the program, Melanie Marks, the next door Native Supports Community Health Worker, will join us and we'll talk about what she does. So that is what is coming up on the show. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. 1789, electors unanimously chose George Washington to be the first president of the United States. 1801, John Marshall took office as Chief Justice of the U.S., a position he would hold for a record 34 years. 1945, President Franklin D. Roosevelt, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, and Soviet leader Joseph Stalin began a wartime conference at Yalta. 1974, newspaper heiress Patricia Hearst, at the age of 19, kidnapped in Berkeley, California, by the radical Symbionese Liberation Army. 1976, more than 23,000 people died when a severe earthquake struck Guatemala with a magnitude of 7.5. 1997, a civil jury in Santa Monica, California, found O.J. Simpson liable for the deaths of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ronald Goldman, ordering Simpson to pay $33.5 million to the victims' families. 2004, Facebook had its beginnings as Harvard student Mark Zuckerberg launched, quote, the Facebook, as one word. You may debate among yourselves whether this was a good thing or not. 2013, British scientists announced that the skeletal remains they had discovered during excavation beneath a Leicester, England parking lot were, beyond reasonable doubt, the remains of 15th-century monarch King Richard III. 2021, a voting technology company, Smartmatic USA, sued Fox News, three of its hosts and two former Trump lawyers, Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell, for $2.7 billion. For allegedly conspiring to spread false claims, the company helped steal the presidential election of 2020. That case, by the way, remains ongoing. Days for today, it is I Heart Horror Day, which is about loving horror movies. Not my thing. Liberace Day today. We celebrate the great pianist. I didn't check to see if it was his birthday or something, but he could tinkle the ivories, as they say. It's National Create a Vacuum Day today. It's also National Girls and Women in Sports Day today. It is National Hemp Day. It is USO Day today. And it's World Read Aloud Day today. And especially if you have young children, as you're getting them ready to be, you know, heading to school here in the near future, reading aloud's a great way to get them going educationally. It is. That's what my mom did, especially, and I am forever grateful that she did that. For food today, it is National Stuffed Mushroom Day, for those of you who like that, like my wife. I don't like mushrooms, so I'll pass on that. However, it is National Homemade Soup Day today, so whatever you like in the soup, if it's homemade, enjoy. I'm good for a good homemade soup. I'll just pass on the stuffed mushrooms. There it is for what it's worth. 8:09 in the morning, we come back. Kevin Waters, Washington State 17th District Rep, right after this.
Let Asset, Advanced Security and Electrical Technology introduce you to the cloud. No, not that kind of cloud. Cloud-based security systems. Do you know what the cloud is? To be honest, I'm just an announcer. I don't either. But the people at Asset, they're total experts. Cloud cameras, cloud access control, cloud intrusion alarms. How does this benefit you? It'll centralize data security, eliminate the need for on-premises infrastructure, make backup and recovery easier, and a whole lot more. Asset isn't a 1-800 number place that you call. They're a local company. They live here too. And if you need video surveillance, access control, fire alarms, you name it, Asset will help create it and install a security solution that's perfect for you, including cloud-based security. Asset, your local connection to the cloud. Just not that kind of cloud. To find out more, visit asetinc.com and stay local. Asset, advanced security and electrical technology.
At the Springs at Mill Creek Assisted Living Community, we believe in living with purpose and enjoying life to its fullest. Nestled at 1201 West 10th Street, The Dalles, our community offers more than just a place to stay. Imagine dining on your schedule from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., choosing your meals from a full menu that suits your taste and lifestyle. Here, every day is an opportunity to thrive, connect, and embrace the joys of life. Discover a vibrant community where you decide how to spend your day. Visit the Springs at Mill Creek because your best life is waiting.
1 in 10 people age 50 and older in the U.S. have early age-related macular degeneration.
Because macular degeneration often has no early symptoms, many don't know they have it until irreversible vision loss has already occurred.
Don't miss life's most beautiful moments.
Schedule a comprehensive eye exam to protect your sight.
Macular Degeneration Research, a Bright Focus Foundation program, offers free resources and tips for healthy vision.
Go to stopamd.org to learn more.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we're back with Washington State 17th District Representative Kevin Waters, Republican from Stevenson. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
All right, how are you doing today?
Doing great.
Well, let's jump in here. I want to jump in with something that's in the news, of course, today, and that is Democrat legislators unveiled Tuesday legislation calling for a 9.9% tax on individual adjusted gross income over $1 million. They want to direct the revenue toward tax relief for individuals and businesses, expanding a tax credit for low and moderate income households, and the early sunsetting of a tax surcharge on some of the state's biggest companies, according to the story we have from the Washington State Standard. But Governor Bob Ferguson, not on board, apparently, with the framework of this. And notably, he thinks the bill falls short in terms of directing revenue toward tax relief. And I guess, first of all, Kevin, I think I know if I ask you about what you think of the bill itself, I probably know, but I'll let you tell us.
Boy, where do I begin, Mark? I think that you're right. You know, I went through, I mean, it's 63 pages long. So I went through and skimmed it last night. You know, we've had staff brief me a little bit on it. I would say this. I would say they need to take this seriously. This to us does not look serious. This looks like people that are trying to figure out more revenue and not really looking at other revenue that's coming into the state. And by that, I mean, they're not looking at our real regressive taxes. You know, I was just talking to our folks here and I was telling them, I said, you know, I actually, crazily enough, I mean, I wouldn't be against a millionaire's tax if you started looking at everything else, which is let's cut the B&O, let's cut sales tax, let's cut, we've got a ton of millionaires in the state. We've got a ton of high earners. And kind of, I think you mentioned it there. I'm sorry, I was listening and trying to think of everything you were saying. But, you know, also buried in this bill is corporate tax relief to our highest corporations. So, you know, where is the transparency? To me, I think what the governor is saying, and I'm not speaking for him, I'm in the minority, is I think that he's saying, I don't see any small business relief here. I see you trying to fill holes. And this isn't real. I mean, this looks like you guys went out and talked about it one night and said, okay, this is what we're going to do, and just went and did it. I mean, there was no thought into this. And it can be thoughtful, and it can also be done with Republicans. You know, it doesn't have to be a one-sided affair. I've had a number of people reach out to me already and say, you're going to be opposed to that, aren't you? And I just sit there and go, well, yeah. I mean, but, you know, if we were brought to the table and actually reasonably considered as a partner in this, I think you'd actually have some amazing ideas come out of it. But there's been no stakeholdering. There's been nothing. And the fact that they did it the day before cutoff, Mark, shows that they're not even comfortable in what they're doing. You know, I'll tell you this, Mark. This session's been weird. I'm friends with everybody up here, and I've had chairs, friends, not even look at me because of what they're doing this year. Not even want to talk. I've come up with ideas that have made bills better. They pulled those bills down instead of running them. This has been a very weird session. Yeah. We have been pragmatic, and yeah, it's beyond me.
So where I was going to go on this wasn't so much the ins and outs of it, though we could do that all day. But with the governor, and I mean, I probably should educate people for those who don't know, the governor is also a Democrat. Who is basically telling his leaders in the legislature that this doesn't work for him. How this might change the dynamic of this short session? Are we now nearing a point where it's very possible we don't see anything like this go through?
No, they're going to put it through.
Okay.
They will put it through. Yeah. Well, this is non-negotiable.
But having said that, that also means, I mean, it could go through. Maybe this comes down to who blinks first internally. I mean, the governor vetoes the thing. And then you're back, you're just kind of sitting where you were.
Yeah. I don't think the governor, you know, the governor last year, he backed down when it came time, he backed down. He signed all those tax bills. He signed every one of them. He raised taxes $10 billion. He's going to do the same here. He's posturing, you know, and I say that, Mark, because I've looked the man in the face and had the real conversation with him, and he said, I'm not going to do this, and then he went and did it. So I'm not saying this is someone that is from the grandstands. I've personally had the conversation with the man. So, you know, to me, he's gonna sign this. It's going to be, what can he get from it? We'll see. If he gets business relief, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'll be floored and excited. I just don't know if he's got it. I mean, he's got the Speaker of the House who, to be honest with you, I think she really runs the place. I mean, she is the governor, and she puts a lot of pressure on him, and she has the power. So it's, you know, there's a famous saying up here that a speaker once said, which was, I've been the speaker and I've had four governors and I'm still the speaker. So, I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic up here about who really holds power.
Before I get away from this, this is more a general question. You know, we always use, you know, millionaires sort of thing in this and the $1 million, but really $1 million, especially when it gets maybe taxation on small businesses anymore, $1 million isn't that much money. Mm-hmm. I mean, do we need to get away from this million part and be thinking more when we talk about this sort of thing, more 4 or 5 million, that sort of number, rather, because $1 million is kind of, it's convenient and frankly, it looks good on paper.
Yeah. I mean, right now I think they're saying the bill's only going to affect 2,000 people. Those 2,000 people probably definitely earn well over $1 million. And the one thing that I have been really concerned about is, what do you do with sole proprietors that do heavy equipment operating? You know, what do you do with, and I know they have said, and it's explicit, this is not on gross. But, you know, I do worry about those folks that, you know, I don't know. To your point, it costs a lot of money to live now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my point is for some small business, for a lot of small businesses, doing $1 million in business, I mean, that doesn't mean they're taking in even $100,000 in net. You know, it's just the numbers aren't maybe the same as they were parallel 10 to 15 years ago even. And you know, sometimes I wonder, we throw that million not out, because we always use the term millionaire and it's, you know, boy, they're rich, they got $1 million. That's really not the case anymore. Doesn't mean you're necessarily rich. It means you're okay, but it doesn't mean you're rich. Anyway, I'll move on to another one here, and this is a bill that I know, given all the forest lands of Skamania County, is a really important locally here. House Bill 2653. Kevin, I'll let you first just explain what this is.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of setbacks when you live in timberlands. And, you know, there's been work done. I'll give you an example. We just had our PUD right before session. I was meeting with the general manager, Randy Payne of Skamania PUD, and he was telling me they cut they cut back. They did a bunch of fire reduction work from Wind River Road all the way up to the nursery, or excuse me, from the nursery to the fish hatchery. And they cut down a significant amount of timber. Mm-hmm. And it's got to sit there and just rot now. There's no mechanism for them to have agreements to be able to do these cutbacks and to be able to sell the timber. So I've partnered with some senators, and they're running a companion over there in the Senate. We'll see which bill makes it. I don't think either bill is going to make it this year, but it's a good bill for next year. I've actually had a number of folks in the majority already come to me and go, is this kind of what I think it is? And I'm like, yeah, it allows counties to do fire reduction, and if it's within certain setbacks, then they can keep that wood, harvest it, and sell it. You know, we could have probably sold 12, I'm told, the PUD could have sold probably 12 loads of logs out of there. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good chunk of change. You know, that pays for their crew that goes in there and does the work, and we're putting a little money in our pocket and helps everybody. So that's what this bill kind of orchestrates. It's the beginning of that conversation. So I'm really excited about this bill. I think it's a great bill. We're trying to... I'm working with Skamania County Commissioner Asa Leckie a lot, and Asa and I, Asa keeps coming up with this, you know, let's work on setbacks. If we're not going to log, let's just do fire reduction, and through fire reduction, we'll get the revenue we need. I mean, there's so much work that has to be done right now in management. I've brought this up to you, I've brought it up to everybody, Mark, but I'm not even into clear cuts. I mean, you know, of course, you know, that's maybe efficient now. I don't know. But, you know, selective logging, cleaning the forest, I mean, that right there is going to bring you a ton of revenue. So this is just one of those tools that I think will help small counties like ourselves and Klickitat to be able to, you know, do fire reduction work and get some money back.
And this would be near roads. Counties could manage forest lands up to a mile on either side of a roadway. And, And it's sounding like the revenue would be targeted to go back to the local governments.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you mentioned that you don't think it's going to get through this session because this is a short session. Is this sort of bill that you look at that you set the groundwork so you can come back during the longer session next year and move this through?
Absolutely. You know, I was really encouraged. I dropped that bill. No one sponsored it with me, which is not rare when it's this late in session.
Mm-hmm.
They know that you're kind of working on something. That's kind of your message. Like, this is a working bill. I'm trying to work this. I must have had 7 or 8 Democrats come up to me and say, we're working on that next year. I mean, just like instantly. I mean, moderates, progressives, they know where that bill's going. Everyone in the state wants to see fire reduction. I think that that bill is like, hey, this is fire reduction. And guess what? We're getting our money back for it. Mm-hmm. And state, you're not paying for it. This is a pretty great tool. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's pretty cool.
So I think it's unfortunate you can't just get it done this year, but I mean, it's just come down to timing. I mean, as you mentioned, the fiscal cutoff's today, so it just sounds like it just comes down. You really can't quite get this bill through for this year.
No, and you know it stinks because sometimes it just takes time. Even when you're up here, I mean, Skamania County Commissioners and I, we have been meeting with the majority party. I've been having members of the majority party coming down to Skamania County since I've been elected. This issue has been brought up every single time. It wasn't until this session that we finally were able to find the clarity to be able to come up with a bill like this.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes that time where you sit there and go, okay, well, what channels do we need to do? What's available? And what policies can we kind of tap into that are state to federal that allow us to be able to do that work? Because as you know, there's a lot of times where it's like, well, that's federal property, good luck. And you're like, but I just want to trim it down or, you know, manage this a little bit, cut the brush back. Oh, can't do that. So this bill's pretty cool. Yeah.
Before we get away here, I remember last time we talked 2 weeks ago, I asked you about, you know, education, and you didn't seem horribly optimistic. In fact, absolutely not optimistic at all about education receiving any help this session. I got from my notes here that might talk about that again a little bit here. Anything changing on that?
No, I would actually say it's maybe gotten worse since we've talked.
Okay.
You know, we're just seeing, I mean, I think I've brought this up, but I mean, we've just seen school district after school district that is having deep financial problems, and it's really worrisome. I did bring this up last time. I think what you're seeing is you have this instrument called MSOC, which is maintenance. It's basically pays for all the school's necessary bills, insurance, electricity, water, power. We're not even coming close to paying for any of it. And we're doing this other thing, which is so weird to me. We're taxing everything that school districts are doing, so they don't get any exemptions. We're taxing ourselves. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, I think I maybe brought this up, but Battleground School District, they now have to pay excise or some weird tax for $250,000 a year. That's not on top of the carbon carbon bill that we also have to pay taxes on when you get natural gas and electricity. And so we're seeing districts kind of taxed at a really weird time. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, when you talk to the majority about it, you're like, hey, you know, can we talk about tax reductions here? And the comeback is oddly, well, if we give them one, you know, schools, then we'd have to start giving everybody one. Well, yeah, that's kind of how it works. It's a state entity and you're taxing yourself. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So I would say that school districts this year that I've been meeting with since you and I have talked, I would say it's now begging is what they're doing when they're in my office. It's critical. And every school district, I'm not really allowed to talk about it, but we're in levy time. And so how does that look for their school? You know, it's stuff like that that really makes you concerned about our schools. And I blame it all on the legislature. I don't blame this on school districts. This is the legislature's fault. The legislature has let them down. They have policies that are unfunded mandates. Superintendents, we met with them. All of us met with them. They said if we had to teach everything that we were required to teach, the students would be in school till they're 27 years old. They're worn out. They've got too much change coming at them every year. The testing is weird. It's just, yeah. Well, and then, you know, like I brought up, we've got 75-year-old schools.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't even go to that part of it. I mean, does this come down to, you know, I mean, I'm more familiar with Oregon than Washington, but when Oregon did measures sure. 5 and 50, the tax, the property tax limitations measures, one of the things, the unintended consequences it did was because they became a legislative issue every year to fund schools, it took basically it stripped school boards, local school boards, of control of school districts and control their financial future along with control of how they operate academically. And then I throw in the zeal, especially in the early 2000s, of, oh, we need accountability and all this testing that seems to me all it does is suck time out, and they changed every 4 years and nobody knows what any of this actually means to anybody anymore. Which is going to kind of one of your points there. I guess in Oregon, I consider the legislature having failed in its ability to operate schools, period. It needs to get back to local school districts somehow. Is that similar to what you see in Washington?
Yeah, I think, I would say that it's frustrating when I come up here and I'm told about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and that is not considered in rural areas. Rural kids are the most minority kids, period, in the state, make up 1% of the population of kids in this state. We are suffering, and when your only revenue stream is timber, and that's kind of my plea up here, is I'm like, guys, I can't bond. I mean, like, we don't even, like, even if we did bond, let's say we did we wouldn't get any money. There's no homes to bond. So, you know, you can't look at, I think one thing that I've been bringing up this year is you can't look at the state as a global state. You have to look at rural versus city. You know, I have had the majority. I've had a number of people tell me, well, don't you forget who pays your bills? And it's us, and that's Seattle. And I said, I get that. But Seattle also took away our ability to ever live sustainably on our own. And so what do we do there? I'm not sitting here begging for money. I'm sitting here asking for solutions. I think I got a couple. And that's how we've got to figure this out. Or else schools are, I mean, it's every school district in the state, Mark. It's not just Stevenson, Carson, Goldendale, White Salmon. It's every single one of them is in debt.
I don't know they'd contact you particularly, but the urban school districts, which the people that you just mentioned, what they say to you, that's who they would be answerable to directly within their district. What's the situation of the urban school districts? I don't detect it's any better because Oregon is pretty much statewide. I'm not sure anybody anymore divides that much urban and rural school funding problems. It's just a problem, period. Is Washington in that area?
Yeah, I'll give you an example. Camas is $26 million in debt. That was at the beginning of the school year. I don't know what they're at now. How does Camas pay that debt off? Mm-hmm. Like, seriously. Like, it's not like they're going to get a $30 million influx of cash somewhere. You can't go and raise taxes $30 million. And Camas is probably one of the best schools in the state. One of the best districts in the state. And I would say, you know, when they come to me and say, I mean, their money manager is their financial officer. He was the Skamania PUD CFO, actually, so I know him pretty well, trust him pretty good. And the concerns that he's brought up to me is he's like, man, this is just not sustainable. I mean, he's like, I don't know how this is going to end, you know. That's the real conversation. That's where it's going to take a lot of political capital to actually do something up here. That conversation will come because eventually schools will start declaring bankruptcy.
Does this circle back to the basic education argument within the state constitution? I mean, goodness knows that went on for years, and I think probably still does to an extent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it does. I mean, I think... you know, our budget's only 43% going to education. It's our fiduciary responsibility, first thing in the Constitution. We all know it should be over 50%. Everyone in this building knows it should be over 50%. I think that's where this millionaire's tax is really concerning. You're not seeing devoted education spending. It's general fund. You're seeing CCA money. Climate Commitment Act, that was the money. That was the word I was trying to, that was the acronym I was trying to find earlier. Climate Commitment Act. You're seeing Climate Commitment Act money coming in at record pace. We're not spending it on the things that we promised voters, that's for sure. This government definitely did not live up to its promise. It's going to the general fund. It's not going to education. We're not paying for education the way we should be doing with the promises that we've made. So, you know, we got to be real about those promises.
Is it also now, let's face it, we have spent the last number of years talking about mental health issues. You mentioned climate. Other issues within the state, housing, police force, and all of which I would probably submit are valid concerns and valid needs, especially on the mental health side. Education also kind of gotten lost in the shuffle? I mean, that seems odd to say, but boy, it sure looks like it.
I think you're right. I think, sadly, you're right. You know, I think it's sad when certain folks come up to you and say, you know, you're not for education, you're not for this. I've had folks in my office say that. It's tough because you sit there and say, you know, in my private life, I do economic development work. And I sit there and go, you know, a community is only as strong as its school, period. And that's how we have safe, vibrant communities. And if we're not investing in that first, there is no economic development, there's no people or retirement communities. So that's my concern.
I know you had to run. We ran over time there. We just kind of got into that a little bit. Kevin Waters, Washington State 17th District Rep from Stevenson. Kevin, thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you here in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thank you as always. Have a great day down in Hood River.
Hey, have a great day as well. Kevin Waters from Olympia on the program. Didn't know we were going to go down the road we did, but it is it's a major concern. We know White Sand Valley School District, of course, along with trying to get the bond pass for replacing Whitson Elementary School. Of course, do you remember the 10th Tuesday, upcoming Tuesday, is the big day as far as ballots going in. And, you know, they're also trying to pass their, it used to be maintenance and operation levy. I forget what they call it. It's like educational something. Somebody bureaucratted the name when they went through some transitions. But, it's a problem. I mean, school funding is a major, major problem. And we haven't talked about it much in Washington, to be honest, lately because of some of the other things. And Oregon, it's a perpetual problem. We hear that from the superintendents we have on. 8:35, come back, check the news. We're going to be a bit behind here getting to our second guest, but we'll do a quick news check after this.
Never have I ever called my sister from the finish line of my first marathon.
Hello?
You won't believe where I am.
Are you running?
Mile 26. I'm going to make it.
Switch to T-Mobile's 55 Plus plan and get iPhone 16e with its advanced camera system on us. Plus, two lines for just $30 a line.
Guys, I can't believe it.
I knew you could do it, babe.
That was amazing. Mom, how do you feel?
I feel great. I can't feel my feet. Let's take a picture. And then you may carry me to the car.
Share every stride, every mile, every memory on America's best network. Switch to T-Mobile's 55 Plus plan and get iPhone 16e on us. And two lines for just $30 a line.
With 24-monthly bill credits and two eligible port-ins on Essentials 55 Plus for well-qualified customers with autopay plus taxes, fees, and $35 device connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off early or cancel. Contact us. Finance agreement 128GB $599.99 required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 1H2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Hi, this is Michelle from Hood River Supply. Got a big project? We've got rentals, heaters, generators, flooring tools, and even gear for larger jobs. As your locally owned co-op since 1949, we serve over 1,500 members gorge-wide. Plus, enjoy store-to-door delivery within 50 miles. Join the co-op or Ace Rewards and start saving. Visit us in Hood River, Odell, or online at hrsupply.com. Hood River Supply, around the block with what you need in stock and rentals, too.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
8:37, quick check of the news. We will have Melanie Marks from the next door with us here in a few moments. Energy company Avangrid says it started commercial operations at the Daybreak and Bake Oven solar projects in Wasco County, sending power to the Portland General Electric Grid. Daybreak has a capacity of 189 megawatts and Bake Oven can deliver up to 80. Avangrid installed a combined 650,000 solar panels at the two locations, which are located adjacent to each other. Together, they're expected to produce hundreds of gigawatt hours of electricity annually. Avangrid estimating the two projects will generate about $40 million in tax revenue over their lifespan and support several permanent full-time jobs for ongoing operation and maintenance. Daybreak and Bake Oven are the first commercial-scale solar projects built in Wasco County. A federal judge Tuesday issued a temporary order prohibiting federal officers at the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Office in Portland from directing tear gas, pepper balls, rubber bullets, or other munitions at people unless they pose a direct and immediate threat to officers. District Judge Michael Simon wrote the repeated shooting and tear gassing of nonviolent protesters at the Portland ICE building will likely keep recurring, adding in his order, statements made by Department of Homeland Security officials and senior federal executives show the culture of the agency and its employees is to celebrate violent responses or fair and diplomatic ones. A group of Democrat Oregon lawmakers, led by Senator Ron Wyden, calling on the Department of Homeland Security to withdraw federal agents from Portland following the weekend incident where agents used tear gas and other munitions on peaceful protesters. In a letter to DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, Wyden, along with fellow Senator Jeff Merkley and Representatives Maxine Dexter, Suzanne Bonamici, Andrea Salinas, and Janelle Bynum, condemned the actions of federal forces, stating they indiscriminately launched tear gas, pepper balls, rubber bullets, and flashbang grenades into a peaceful and planned gathering of labor groups, including nurses, teachers, and their families. The lawmakers criticized advised the use of force, saying it posed a threat to the health and safety of nearby residents and violated constitutional rights. Our current temperature is 45 in Stevenson, 41 in the Dalles and Hood River. It is 8:39 in the morning.
Hey, it's Zach from Del Carpino Automotive, where we specialize in keeping European rides happy. Audi, BMW, Mercedes, and even those tall Sprinter vans that look like hotels on wheels. We know them inside and out. And if you're wondering where we went, we didn't go far. We're just now 5 minutes from our old shop in our brand new location in the Upper Hood River. Same trusted crew, more space, and the same honest family-owned service. Come see us at Del Carpino Automotive. European expertise and Columbia Gorge roots.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. You know, the big wireless companies say they have discounts for people over 55, but unless you're willing to sit on hold and ask, you're probably paying more than you should. At Consumer Cellular, there's nothing to hunt down. We're built for people 50 plus with plans starting at just $20. And our 100% US-based customer service actually answers the phone. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com today and get your second month free for a limited time.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You still thinking job change in the new year?
Yeah, I need something that's in high demand and more stable in this economy.
IT?
Yeah, cybersecurity, maybe even AI.
That's what I did.
Really? How?
Went to My Computer Career. You don't need any prior experience, and you could start your new career in a matter of months. A lot of IT pros go to school there, too, to level up.
Sweet. Are classes online or on campus?
Both.
Wow, I'll check it out. Thanks.
Make this your year. Take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
Your local forecast brought to you by SheFire. For all your fire protection needs and safety training, we're certified, mobile, local, and insured. 541-980-1181. 980-1181. That's SheFire.
Cloudy this morning with some sun forecast for later. Highs mid-50s, east wind to 15 miles per hour. And a few clouds tonight. Lows should be right around 40.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
It is 8:41 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We are joined now on the phone by, from the next door, Native Supports Community Health Worker Melanie Marks. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning.
And I guess I'll start first of all the basic question. I gave, you know, the title you have with the next door. What is it that you do? What exactly does this job entail?
Well, that is a great question. I'm a community health worker, and I'm actually a Native American community health worker. I serve the Native communities. One of the things I do is I basically help bridge the gap between healthcare and our culture, and do that by supporting wellness through trust, tradition, and advocacy.
How does working with the Native community on these issues perhaps differ from working with others?
I'm not quite sure I understand that question.
Well, I mean, you're doing this specifically for the Native community, so I guess where I can't help but think, are there certain hurdles and barriers they face to maintaining health care and maintaining their own wellness that perhaps other populations don't?
I'm not going to say that other populations don't, but there definitely is a barrier, and there's definitely a need for that in our area. As a community health worker, and also I'm also a tribal navigator, which we help assist tribal elders or members with disabilities in navigating with the application process for services that they might need, to say through ODHS or APB. And, you know, those processes can be difficult at times. And so as a community health worker and a tribal navigator, we're there just to support and, you know, help any with any of those barriers and just be there to kind of guide them through that process.
Mm-hmm. I would assume that, you know, when you talk about the navigating through the paperwork, I assume that they go through the same issues that everybody else does there, that it is it's a labyrinth and confusing.
It is. And, you know, it's really just, you know, we work with a lot of people that, you know, sometimes are in a really rough place. And it's really just coming in and being that person to sit with them in those moments and just be a light. That's really what we're there to do. And then just to build that relationship so that they have some support and somebody they feel like they can reach out to. You know, a lot of times they don't want to reach out and ask for help, but I think that's true in a lot of, you know, people. Mm-hmm. It's hard to ask for help. And so we're there to kind of help, you know, bridge that gap and just kind of overcome those barriers together and just be a friend.
So how do you try to break that down where people, as you mentioned, you know, for whatever reason, really, you know, they don't want to reach out for help for whatever reason it might be, whether they just don't feel right about it or however it might be. How do you try mm-hmm. to kind of to break that down a little bit?
Well, you know, it's not easy. I'm going to say that right now. First of all, you need to be relatable. You need to kind of come from a place of understanding and not try to give too much. I feel like, you know, we kind of like to use the example of like a muffin. Like when you meet with somebody, you're going to just give them maybe a few little bites. You're not going to like take that muffin and just cram it into their face, like too much information. Mm-hmm. It's really just about breaking things down into small steps. It's not a one and done meet with them. It's basically, you know, we're going to meet with them till the very end. It might be, you know, 6 months that we work together. It might be years. It's definitely building a relationship.
How do you go about outreach where so people know that actually even the services are available? Because I know in some cases, it's one of the reasons people don't get what they're eligible for is they just don't know it's there.
Oh, absolutely. And I have to say, you know, living in the community, I've lived here pretty much my entire life. I was born and raised here. My tribe is Yurok. We're actually from California, the Klamath area. I'm not sure if you know where that's from.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I've lived here my whole life, born and raised. And I'll be honest with you. I wasn't even familiar with a lot of the different programs that were in our area and that were out here doing this work and working in our community. So it's really important that we work together with these different programs, not only with just the next door Native supports, but the programs in the area, because there's a lot of incredible programs that are here. But you're right, a lot of people do not know about them. And some of the things that we do is we do a lot of outreach. We do a lot of different events that just kind of gets us out there in the community so they do get familiar with our faces and that they that we spread that information. We collaborate with a lot of different partners, and it's really important to get that information out there because, like I said, I've lived here my whole life, and I really I've only worked here for about a year, I'm just going to say, so I'm still learning. But I had no idea until I actually started working with the next door about all of these programs that are available for our communities to help strengthen them and just to overall improve our communities.
Yeah. Are there certain programs that you feel like that the Native community doesn't realize that are there? I mean, you kind of to follow up on that question I had a moment ago, are there things that are typically missed?
I mean, I think for a lot of people, there's a lot of programs that people are not aware of, but and support systems, but it's really just helping them navigate through, you know, where to go for different resources, whether, you know, it's food security or whether it's housing, which I think we all are pretty familiar with the housing shortage here in this area. So housing is a big issue. And, you know, also another thing is transportation. What a lot of people don't realize is transportation is definitely something that creates a barrier. So we may help with getting them set up for transportation so they can get to medical appointments or whatever that case may be. If it's food security, we may help them get signed up with Meals on Wheels to get, you know, some healthy meals if, say, that, you know, they're not able to get those themselves. So a lot of different programs out there, you know, whether it's with ODHS or, you know, with housing, definitely there's so many. And it's always changing, too, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes things change, and what might be available, you know, at some point, it, you know, 6 months later, it's not available, whether it be through funding or budget cuts or whatever. So it's always changing, and there's, you know, it's a lot of work, but, you know, it's good work.
As you do the outreach, you mentioned going to events, et cetera, but I assume also that you probably do a lot of work going to where the Native population is.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we work all up and down the river. We serve the Hood River, Wasco, Skamania, and Klickitat County. So we go pretty much on both sides of the river to all the areas, the different in-lieu sites. And yes, we meet them right where they're at. We do some incredible outreach and just meeting them and, you know, just talking to them, finding out where their needs are, whether it's, you know, help throughout the winters, you know, with helping with heating. And there's a lot of programs that help with that. There's also, we work with other programs that help for like pet food outreach. You know, sometimes, you know, there's a lot of pets that, you know, are, you know, needing care for, and we try and help them with that. So there's a lot of different things that we try and just go out and meet them where they're at within the different in-lieu sites to help them. Mm. So, yeah.
We're running a little short of time here. Emily, we're a little late getting to you this morning, but for those out here, you know, we had a legislator on, so those things get wordy from time to time.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, for those who maybe need some help, does someone have to be a member of the tribe to access services from yourself?
No. As far as the specifics, I mean, yes, for Native supports, we do work with Native Americans, but we're not going to ask you for a tribal ID card. If you are Native American and are you looking for assistance, we're here to help you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can reach out. We have an office both in Hood River and the Dalles. So you can reach out to us at either one of the offices at the next door there. Mm-hmm.
So you can reach out to the next door and you can avail yourself of the various opportunities here. And again, it says health worker, but it sounds like you go into a lot of different areas besides.
We really do. Yeah. We really do. And we do a lot of amazing events. And with that said, I don't know how much more time we have.
You got a couple more minutes. Yeah.
We got a couple more minutes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do a lot of amazing events and outreach. Some of my favorites, we do a back to school event. We actually do something that's called Indie Feast, where we provide holiday meals. I think this last year it was close to 884 individuals that we served a holiday meal for Thanksgiving and Christmas, which was amazing to be a part of. We had some great community partners that we partnered with, and every year it just gets a little bit better. But something that's coming up actually is the Columbia River Round Dance, and that is coming up here in May, and it's something that we invite our whole community to come and be a part of. It's really a place where we can raise awareness and just strengthen belonging. And it's the Columbia River Round Dance, and it's going to be held on May 1st. It's a Friday, and it's going to be at the Fort Dalles Readiness Center in the Dalles.
Mm-hmm. I'm just out of the question, because I'm not familiar with this sort of thing. What is a round dance?
Well, the Columbia River Round Dance, it's, you know, how do I sum it up? First of all, I just want to say that Charlie Ann is the one that she works with CritVic. She's a victim assistance, works as a victim assistance program, and she helps put on this amazing event. You can wear red to show your support, bring photos to honor your loved ones, and just be a part of it. It's just a really powerful movement where we honor missing and murdered Indigenous people. So last year was my first time attending, and I'm looking forward to another successful year. And like I said, that will be in May. And we really do welcome our community to come out and support. And like I said, you can come and wear red. That's part of the way you can support and just honor loved ones and be a part of it. It's a really powerful movement.
Melanie Marks, again, next door, Native Supports Community Health Worker. Melanie, thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It is 8:53 in the morning. We will come back and wrap things up for you right after this.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. After my husband died, the last thing I wanted to think about was money. Ethos made it affordable to get life insurance. Signing up was fast and 100% online. I knew that I could pay our mortgage and have food in the fridge. I could focus on my kids. No one ever tells you how much you're going to depend on that policy. I am so grateful we had coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
With other language learning apps, I was just playing games. I wasn't really learning. Babbel's different.
Babbel was designed by over 200 language learning experts to be the most effective way to learn another language.
Every time I open the app, I can choose to work on my writing, speaking, or listening. And it saves my mistakes for me to review, so I'm constantly improving. Before Babbel, I thought I just wasn't good with languages. But now I'm speaking French. Tout ça, c'est grâce à Babbel.
Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Craving bold flavors and a warm welcome? Head to Casa El Mirador in the Dalles. Known for their famous hot sizzling fajitas, Casa El Mirador serves up fresh, flavorful Mexican favorites that arrive steaming right to your table. But it's not just the food, it's the stellar hospitality that keeps locals coming back. From friendly service to generous portions and gold medal winning margaritas, every visit feels like a celebration. Come enjoy the sizzle and the fiesta of flavor at Casa El Mirador, online at CasaElMirador.com.
At McCoy Holliston Insurance, we're proud to serve the Columbia River Gorge since 1946 with the same dedication to our clients that's made us your trusted choice for generations. Hi, this is Nicole. We're honored to be voted Best Insurance Agency in the Gorge 4 years in a row. Whether it's protecting your home, auto, business, farm, or planning for life's unexpected moments, our experienced team is here for you every step of the way. Call us at McCoy Holliston Insurance in White Salmon today and experience the service you deserve.
Did you know Skyline Health in White Salmon has its very own sports medicine doc superstar? That's right. Dr. Ryan Petering trained at OHSU, cared for professional Nike athletes, and even spent more than 15 years teaching other doctors how it's done. From sporting injuries to arthritis, he's here to help you move better, feel stronger, and keep doing the things you love. Want to live life to its fullest? Step right up and visit myskylinehealth.org. Skyline Health, world-class care right here at home.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
And it is now 8:56 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Tomorrow on this show, Cameron Eats Fuller from OSU Extension out of Wasco County will join us. Second half of the show. Not sure we're going to do first half. Dr. Mike Foss is going to be here on Friday to talk animals. Mike will be here on Friday for his monthly visit. Monday, we talk Mid-Columbia Center for Living and Port of the Dalles. Tuesday, Hood River County and Wasco County governments will be our subject on the show. So we got plenty coming up here over the next few days on MCT. Just got to thinking here. It sure seems to me, I have been doing this show, on the permanent basis since, 1998? So we're closing in on 30 years. We have, on both sides of the river, hemmed and hawed over education funding that entire time. And never reach any kind of resolutions. Education and healthcare costs are the two, if I really look back and did an audit of what we've talked about on this program and where we really have spent a lot of time, especially in terms of issues before state governments or federal government for that matter, schools and health have got to be way in front of everything. Housing in this area would also be in the ballpark. Mental health has been over the last about 15 years, I'd say. And we always talk about taxes. That's a given. That's never going away, okay? The tax questions will be there till the end of civilization, which I hope isn't as close as it seems sometimes. My, I'm not exactly being a fountain of positivity this morning, am I? No, I just feel like the mistakes we made, and I'm not sitting here not saying, Oregon should not have done property tax late in the 70s. I get that. but we hung our schools out to dry, just hung them out to dry. I think I've told the story. The voters' pamphlet for the ballot measure, Measure 5, in the arguments in favor, it was mentioned by a guy named Bill Sizemore, of course, who he's infamous at this point in this state. And part of the selling point was that Oregon's legislature would pass, after the property tax limitation, a 1.5%, I think it was mentioned, I can't remember the exact figure, transaction tax. Yes, that's a sales tax. To fund education. About 30 years later, that hasn't been passed yet. Just so I let everybody know. By the way, I've shown this to legislators and things of today, and they chuckle at it. They get the irony. They get the point. But it just stripped local control. It did. I'll get off the soapbox now. They give me this microphone, and as I get older, it's harder to resist. For Cameron Eisenberg, I'm Mark Bailey. Thanks for being with us. Talk to you again tomorrow.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.